Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are we doing today?
Doing good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's a bit of a bittersweet kind of day today.
Yeah.
Let's start the show with our big announcement. Andrew P. entering the, I won't call it retirement, but semi-retirement stage of his life. Is that accurate?
I am retired. I do things like I still do some work for Uplifting Athletes and stuff like that because I enjoy it, right? I kept doing this because I enjoyed it, right? This is our last show. I think we both kind of realized, like, my wife and I's schedule is pretty enjoyably fun. We take trips. We go, and it is, it's not realistic for me to just be around every week. Like, I'm not here, you know. I was saying, like, oh, well, we have, you know, well, our daughter's getting wedding. That's a once in a lifetime, hopefully, thing. We're not paying for another one, but,
it's the final one dad's paying for. So that's the one.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mom and dad are paying for this last one. Like, okay, we're going to California and Hawaii again, right? Like, that's 3 weeks. And I'm like, well, I'm going to miss, like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And then a week later is the wedding, you know, 2 weeks later is the wedding. And I got this. And there's a chance in November I'm going to end up in Myrtle Beach for a week or two. And, you know, just, it just doesn't work. It just isn't fair or work anymore for me to be around every week. You brought it up. You brought it up in the most kind, considerate, and caring way. And, like, without saying it, you're kind of like, dude, you're cramping my style. Because you're just gone. And I'm like, yeah, I could probably, there was what, 5 or 6 weeks I could label during the football season as, yeah, I'm not going to be here. Yeah. And one thing I've learned in my more life season time is actions. You can take what actions you want. I have no regrets about doing it or saying, like, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And if you want me to do it, great, but I can't do these. And it just was like, well, I've been thinking, and I'm like, yep, no, I'm good. I've been thinking the same thing. Let's do it. Call it a day.
Well, the thing of it is, Andy, we've always tried to be very flexible with our schedule, and Correct. Sometimes guys are going to miss weeks, and sometimes we have to reschedule when we record, and it's all no problem. But it became, you know, pretty obvious, I think, to both of us, your travel schedule, and it's actually easier to get a full-time replacement than it is to try to do it week by week, you know, trying to get someone to fill in. Now, I think before everyone, all the Andy fans out there get worked up with, oh no, we'll never hear Andy again, what we do have is Andy going to be kind of first in line to sub in. So when we have somebody else not able to make it, the first call will go to Andy, and Andy has assured us if he's available, he'll be coming on the show. So we haven't heard the last of Andrew P. Shea.
Well, maybe not, but you've heard the last of me regularly. And yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad. I would think it's probably a good thing for the listeners that you don't have to listen to me regularly, but you can just hear me sporadically. And don't worry, I'll still say stuff that'll light you up and give you a question or two for Jim.
Well, we know we'll get that, and folks will still be looking to ask, where's Andy, and they'll still challenge things that you said. But anyway, I'll tell you what. We'll do a little bit of the look back on our history, our long history, that long, strange trip. But we'll do that a little bit later. I want to get in one more traditional show, Andy, which is the season preview show. The season starts in a couple weeks. I'd feel bad if we didn't get your take on what's going on, your predictions, one-loss record, some breakout players. And, you know, Andy, just because we have to, we're going to get a season-long bold prediction from Andy. So, Andy, let's start maybe at the end. We'll do this to start, though, this time. Let's take a look at this schedule the team has and actually go game by game, win-loss, okay? And it's probably best to go in sections, you know, kind of group the games a bit. Let's start with this out-of-conference schedule, which I'll beat you to the punch. It's embarrassing, right? You say it funny, but I'll just call it embarrassing.
Marshall, say it Philly style. Embarrassing.
Well, it's Marshall, speaking of Philly, at Temple, which is probably the most interesting game of the three, and home to Buffalo. I would assume you would look at that as three wins. I guess the bigger question there is, what are you looking for? It's the new regime, new coach. Remember a year ago when we had such high expectations and they had the three cupcakes in the out-of-conference schedule, and we were like, boy.
They didn't play very well.
No, they didn't. Something was amiss, yeah. And that turned out to be the case. How about this year? Are you looking for anything in particular from the new staff, new team?
No. First three games are like, they're almost like scrimmages. It almost feels like preseason. I mean, there was a time a wee bit ago where you could say, you know, there's some meat on the Temple bone, and I know the transfer era. So these are three teams that tend to get a little more feasting on than are feasting. You know what I mean? Like, if they have an elite player or two, they tend to be gone. So I just don't. I mean, I guess you could get your borders and boundaries in place, your calls, your checks, you know, create your own little bit of chaos. But I'll be honest, I think your offense and defense, even in the limit, you know, in a limited capacity, the hitting that you do in practice, there's more competition. You can't replace the game scenario, right? Like, it's a real game. You can't replace that, but competitively, I think they get more quote-unquote work, will get work done in practice than this particular non-conference schedule, which is they're catching two teams, Marshall and Buffalo, on the other side. You know what I mean? Like, they were both better teams last year. That has nothing to do with Penn State. It's just a timing thing. They're just frankly not very good. And Temple's was marginally awful last year to bad, and I don't expect it to be a whole lot different. So it's just, I don't look for anything other than, you know, just put some baseline borders and boundaries in place, and you get to run your stuff live, but you're not going to run your stuff against competition that's going to push you nearly as hard as what you have already seen in practice. It's just not going to happen, Jimmy. It's the reality of that schedule.
I think my thing I will always say in these games is I want to see how sharp they look. And it doesn't mean they can't jump off sides once in a while. But overall, you know, third down execution, don't get overwhelmed with pre-snap penalties, things like that, a discipline start. So your prediction for those three games, three W's, Andy?
Three covers.
I'm with you. Do you see do you look at the Temple game, which is at Temple, technically a road game, as a possibility of even a scare that maybe at halftime it's a game?
No, unless Penn State plays to the level of the competition. And that goes back to one of the what I think is going to be one of the core values of this team and, you know, sort of Matt Campbell and his coaching stuff. If nothing else, I just have a sneaky suspicion that if nothing else, at the end of the day, you know, result irrelevant, this team will be well-coached. Well-coached / well-prepared /, you know, it's one of Matt Campbell's strengths. Like, one of James Franklin's weaknesses, his glaring weakness, was that, you know, 3.5 to 4 hours on Saturday. He's just not very good game coach. Just not good. Not good. Not even marginal. Just no. He's bad at it. Just not a good game day coach at all. Many ways, shapes, and forms. Matt's pretty good at it. And Matt has an opportunity to be very good with, you know, a little bit more talent as it grows here. But yeah, I just see they will be prepared and well coached. I don't see a scare. I don't even see a chance.
All right, then. Let's move on. It's time for the Big Ten portion of the schedule. Their opener is at home. It's against Wisconsin. Any chance the stinking Badgers are going to put up a fight?
So we're going to look at this a little bit. I'm going to look at this a little bit differently. I grouped their schedule in three things. I grouped it in tier ones and tier twos. They don't play anybody in the elite tier. I think Wisconsin, Northwestern, and Minnesota are in the elite tier, are in the tier two. They are in tier two. Those three games, I think Penn State loses one of those three. I'm not sure which one.
Wisconsin, Minnesota, Northwestern.
Yep. There's one loss among those three.
Wow. That. If you were to venture a guess, which one?
It might be Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah, I just think they're going to be very similar style teams. They're going to be mirror images of each other. I think Penn State has more talent. You know what I mean? I think Penn State has the better quarterback. That was it.
Okay, that's it for quarter number one. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. His big swan song, big finish from Andy, his last show with us. Now he'll be filling in sometimes, but last show as a regular, we're doing our season preview with Andy while we still got him. We went through the out-of-conference games, Andy thinking an easy 3-0. Just to mess me up, Andy threw it, and along with Wisconsin, he threw in Northwestern and Minnesota into a bunch. And as a preview of his final prediction, said he sees a loss in one of the three, not sure which. I, of course, pushed him a little bit. He said Minnesota. I think of that group, Northwestern scares me a little bit. Not just because they lost.
The Friday game, right? It's a Friday game. Their new stadium, which I hear is spectacular. Yeah, I just, they will be juiced up, but yeah, possibly. I just think, you know, I'm going under the premise of winning one you shouldn't, probably shouldn't, or aren't picked to win, and losing one you shouldn't lose.
It, which would not be unusual. I think the situation, you know, just starting with those two back-to-back, Wisconsin and Northwestern, Penn State has the better roster. To me, this is a test of Matt Campbell showing that he is the better game day coach. He will not have his team underperform in those games. That's his test to see if that's the case. Let's move on. Let's pair these two. Home USC, road Michigan. In the entire season, there are three games where they don't have the definitive more talent. This is back-to-back USC and at Michigan where that's the case.
I don't think they lose both of them. I think they lose one of them. I threw my tier in there. I have Michigan, USC, and Washington as the top tier Penn State schedule, right? And I think they lose two of those three games.
And care to choose which one you think they're going to win?
I think they beat USC. I think they beat USC.
I think the advantage there, and it's legit, three things even, if you want to count it this way. They're at home, helpful. Geography. It would probably be a whiteout,
yep.
Helpful. USC making the coast-to-coast trip. We found that out as a situation in the Big Ten. Teams traveling either way struggle a bit. That's why I think better chance to beat USC than Washington, because you have to the same thing goes with Penn State making that coast-to-coast travel. Snuck in between those three teams, home to Purdue. I'm assuming you don't see that as any kind of test.
Yeah, no other losses, Jimmy. I mean, when you remove Penn State, just real quick on the schedule, when you remove Penn State from the equation, right, generally speaking, the top five or six teams in the Big Ten are Ohio State, Indiana, the defending national champion. I think people need to be reminded of that. And Oregon, that's your elite tier, right? That's your elite tier of the Big Ten. And then your next three teams are Michigan, USC, and Washington generally, right? Penn State doesn't play any of the elite tier, and they play all three of the second tier. Now, flip that on the other side. Generally speaking, the bottom five or six teams in the Big Ten, Purdue, yep, they're on Penn State's schedule. Wisconsin, yep. Rutgers, yep. Maryland, yep. Northwestern, yep. The only one's Michigan State that is a no.
Okay, so we call those wins. So what we have, Andy, is the three best teams, USC, Michigan, Washington, you have them going 1-2 in those games.
Correct.
Wisconsin, Northwestern, and Minnesota, you have them going 2-1 in those games.
Correct.
That puts them 3-3 against those teams. They have the three out-of-conference games. That makes it 6-3. And then Maryland, Rutgers, and
9-3.
So you're going at 9-3.
9-3. I think 8-4 is a realistic expectation. Remember, they don't have an elite roster. They have a very good roster. They think they have depth. You keep being sold the coach speak, you know, bill of goods on depth and competition, etc. Let's see if it's really true at a Big Ten level. But yeah, I think 9-3 is, and that's a high ceiling, I think, for this team because of the, you know, just the favorably opportunistic schedule. Right there, it is so favorably opportunistic. That gave me enough to go, this team could be 9-3. I think that's a very high watermark. I think 8-4 is a more realistic expectation.
Okay.
Different schedule would look a lot different.
Let's look at some of the individuals. How about your MVPs on this team? One for offense, one for defense.
Oh, I didn't pick one for defense. I just picked an MVP. Running back James Peoples.
Wow.
Yep. Dude, that kid is good. They just paid two younger running backs a lot more money to start at and be the running backs at Ohio State. I just think when I look at everything and all things being equal, I think James Peoples was even the better back than those two young kids, just to be honest with you. Like, he's a proven commodity at a very high level, a functionally high level. And I just think he's going to be special. I think he's your MVP.
I think that's a pretty good call there, Andy, because I know you're tired of me using this expression all the time. I think Rocco Beck has a high floor. I don't know how high the ceiling is. So I think he's going to be good, functional. And I don't think he'll make some of the mistakes that we've seen previously at a bad time, you know. But I also don't see him being, you know, the star performer, first round draft pick type of player. And I think they will lean on the running game. It's a question of which of the three stands out. And I think James Peoples has probably the best chance of that group. So I think that's a pretty good call. All right, Andy, how about some breakout players? Who do you see? And I think James Peoples could probably fall into that if you're going to make him the MVP. But who else? Who's going to break out? Who's going to show up that we weren't necessarily expecting to be the case?
So I went down and just I went with one to keep it simple. I mean, I figured you'd give a couple more possibilities. But people always want to know, like, don't give me three. Give me one. And so I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you Max Granville at defensive end. I think he's your breakout player for Penn State in 2026. I saw enough in 2024 in a crowded, already full with Denai Dennis Sutton. You know, they already had a stud, et cetera, et cetera. Abdul Carter was there. He showed you something that was like, okay, this kid could possibly play right now as well. And of course, the other two just kept getting better and were so good. But he was missed all of 25 and the spring of 26, coming back from a major injury. That's a question mark, but they're thin at that position. I think he has the tools and the talent to be a special player, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people this season. And so he is my breakout / surprise player for 2026.
As you mentioned earlier, Andy, I'm going to give a couple names. Yes. Actually, I'm probably going to go more a couple positions.
Tight ends? Oh,
nope.
Maybe?
Nope.
No?
Because I don't think they're necessarily going to be breakouts. I think they're already established. They're pretty good.
Wow.
The defensive end position, there's multiple. You mentioned Max Granville. I think that's a good name. Yvonne Kamaju could be a good choice. Akena Iziogu is a name that, you know, not many people are saying, but the people on the inside are talking him up. I think somebody in the defensive end will break out. Boy, Max. I don't know which. Max Granville is as good a choice as any, Andy. I just don't know which. On the offensive side, wide receiver, I don't think one of the running backs will be, I think, will
a
turn into the guy.
Yeah. But
a wide receiver, and not Sowell and Eskelson. Somebody else will step up and do something. I've got both Zay Robinson and Kobe Howard there. And I think because everybody expects Kobe Howard, I may just go with Zay Robinson, okay, to give a different name. All right, Andy, a minute and a half left in this segment. I'm giving you plenty of time to expound on. your bold prediction for this season. What do you got?
Yeah, I think that despite what, you know, I think the strongest single position on Penn State, on either side of the ball for Penn State, is their running backs. I think the running back position is the most stable, most strong as you enter into the year. Having said that, I'm going to go the other side of the ball for a bold prediction. And because I think the defense collectively is a little bit more on better footing in more spots than the offense per se. So I went deep. It's a deep cut bold prediction for you, Jimmy. The Penn State Nittany Lions defense leads the conference in tackles for loss.
Wow. Wow. That is
I got a double
that is
wow.
A bold one. You did.
Tackles for loss. I know the way Mr. Lynn wants to coordinate his defense, and I know he's got some of the pieces to make that particular stat very relevant for this defense. So that's where I'm going. Penn State leads the conference in tackles for loss.
You know what, Andy? You have never disappointed with your bold predictions. It may be my one favorite thing in all our time working together. All right, one more time, quarter three, your questions we ask Andy.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. And for the final time, it's quarter three with Andy and your questions and time to ask Andy. And Andy, you know what? I am not going to ease into it. I'm not going to make it just regular questions for you. I'm going to come out of the gate strong, okay? And I'm giving you the opportunity to respond to our buddy Steve in Columbia. Steve had no idea this would be the last Ask Andy, but here is his – well, I think there's a question here somewhere. Steve says, I love to pile on. Is it partly sunny or partly cloudy? Is the glass half full or half empty? I say partly sunny and half full. What say you, Andy, Debbie Downer, waiting on a sunny day?
Yes. Good Springsteen song reference. It's a long walk home, Steve. There you go. I'll throw a Springsteen song right back at you. I say take your fan glasses off and put your football glasses on, Steve, and look at what you got, right? You got a lot of roster in the mediocre middle. Mediocre to good, right? You don't have a top 100 player. You don't have three of them. You don't have anything spread out. You have a lot of potential, and you have the greatest opportunity, the glass is half fullest in opportunity in your 2026 schedule. You can't emphasize that enough. I mean, you play five of the generally bottom six regarded teams in the conference. You have the most embarrassing of non-conference schedules possible, and you don't play any among the three single elite teams in the conference. You don't play Ohio State, Indiana, or Oregon. You play all three of the next tier, but you don't play any of the top tier. So in terms of, you know, putting on your, you know, battle dress uniform, speaking as a combat veteran, you're on more level footing than you should be.
right, let's see how many we could get through here. This is Rob from Burbank. Can the Big Ten get the fourth championship this year? And who is most likely to win it? Oregon, Ohio State? Also, and this one's directed at me, why the Mets? I'm also a child of the 70s growing up in Pennsylvania and was drawn to the players and personalities of the Pirates. I'll let you answer the question of can the Big Ten win the fourth championship. The quick story on the Mets, I grew up in Northeast PA. We had cable TV back in the 60s. 1969, I'm 9 years old, Miracle Mets. I had a next-door neighbor who was a Met fan, an old guy named Wilbur. I used to watch baseball with him. He always had the Mets on, and the rest is history. All right, Andy, can the Big Ten get a fourth championship in a row this year, and who would it be?
Yes, yes. The most likely candidate is Ohio State.
I think, Andy, I've been saying probably since we started doing this show,
yeah.
You got a default start with Ohio State.
They have the best roster in the country, top to bottom, 1 to 25. Nobody can hang with them 1 through 25 in terms of a roster. So they have all the pieces. They have the quarterback. Yeah, they've got it all.
I'm with you. I think it's a safe starting point is starting with Ohio State. All right, let's get our buddy Brad in Perkasie who says, with Penn State getting bigger, do they have enough speed to compete with Michigan, USC, and Washington? Also, who's the X factor on defense?
Well, I think the X factor, well, let's start with, do they have enough speed? They have adequate speed. I don't know that they have elite competitive speed. Do they have enough speed to keep up?
Well, you know, I'm going to interject a little bit here. You know, I think the size that he's referencing is on the line with the tackles. And in previous years, the question was, were they big enough and strong enough to compete with Michigan and USC?
Right.
And now that they're much bigger at tackle, you ask the question, do they have enough speed? You know, I'm not sure at the defensive tackle position, it's nice to have speed, but I think the fact is there's a strategy here, a plan. The big guys are going to anchor the middle and allow the other players to use their speed.
Brad, the X factor on defense for me, and he's kind of moved positions. I think he's going to be a little bit of a hype. Caleb Bacon. Remember, they moved him to kind of an end outside linebacker, 3-4 type outside linebacker, and I just think he's going to bounce all over the place. I think he's a potential X factor. Very good football player. Just rock solid fundamentally.
I'm thinking, you know, it's that they talked about this flexibility with the players. We've heard about Zion him. Tracy. I love Marcus Neal. I think Jeremiah Cooper, also another safety, might end up being that X factor. Okay, here's one for us, an old friend, The Riz, Andy from New York City. Hola, Andy. I know you saw Aller light it up during his preseason debut. What does that say about Franklin? Please don't hold back, LOL. Hope all is well in Happy Valley. That's from The Riz. I think what he's doing is he's inviting you, Andy, to take a shot at James Franklin.
Yeah, position coach, offensive coordinator, and James Franklin. Here's what it tells me, right? This is my shot. He knows he can identify it and recruit it better than most, and very few are at that level. He can't develop it. He can't make it perform at another level, right? He can identify it, understand what he's looking for, know what he's seeing better than most. Developmental-wise, does it worse than most.
I think that's a valid point, Andy. And
it is.
It's also, And maybe this is a little bit, you know, fingers crossed, hoping it's the case. But I heard something from both Tyler Mauser and Matt Campbell that I really like, which is we are not looking to force our players to play a certain way, a way that we like. We want to use the talent that we have the best way possible. You know, don't put a square peg into a round hole. I think they may have tried to force Drew Aller to be something he's not. I think these guys say, hey, you got to appreciate the talent you have and accommodate your coaching to the players, not make the players accommodate the coaching. So I think that's something I very much liked hearing. But more importantly, I want to see that, Andy. Okay, yeah. here's one for you. Randy in Binghamton says, has Penn State ever produced three FBS starting quarterbacks in one season? That was one heck of a quarterback room back in 24. First of all, could you name the three FBS starting quarterbacks they'll have in one season?
Three?
Yeah.
In one season? I can't.
Well, I think what he's referring to are one players developed by Penn State who are now starters. But
right. You had Will Levis. You had Sean Clifford at one point, right?
No, I think he's talking about currently. They started at Penn State but ended up starters. I think what he's saying is you have who are three guys who started at Penn State, allegedly developed at Penn State, but now they're starting somewhere else?
Well, it's Ethan Grunkmeyer will be at Virginia Tech. So Aller doesn't count, right? Because he's in the NFL.
Correct.
What's the kid at Rutgers' name? See, now you're going to make me name names, and I'm 60-plus years old.
At Temple, or are you thinking at Temple?
Maybe at Temple. It's
Jackson Smolek is going to be starting at Temple.
Yep.
That's two.
He was a backup for a couple games, did pretty well. I can't think of his name. Tell me the third. Help me out.
Bo Prabula.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about him. No, that's not who I was thinking about. Okay. Maybe I was thinking about Jackson Smolek and wasn't going to be able to name him. I kind of forgot about Bo Prabula.
I know. It's like he's two iterations away. So that's kind of interesting. All right. And for our final question of
you
the
said ask- you said you wanted to get a lot in. That's like a one, two, three, four. That's five. This will be six.
I told you I wanted to zip through, get them in, because I can't save them for next week, Andy. And
right.
Tony from Philadelphia says, looking at the Penn State basketball schedule thus far released, it's a disgrace. Go ahead, Andy. Not a disgrace. It's what is it? Like the football team out of conference?
Embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And
he wants to know, why is it that they're not playing teams like BC, West Virginia, Temple, Villanova, UPenn, Duquesne, and Bucknell? Instead, it's Canisius, Chattanooga, Mercyhurst, New Haven. It is an embarrassing schedule.
You need to win a few games, though, Jimmy. If they play like Temple, BC, Villanova, West Virginia, lost L. You can't stack L's. You can't stack guaranteed losses. You can't do that.
And you know what? I'm going to if you saw the quote from Pat Kraft about 3 or 4 weeks ago where he essentially said, the basketball team's not worth investing in. Well, if that's your starting point.
Yeah, right. You might have a problem, Houston.
Yeah, exactly. And I've had people say, well, are you blaming him for telling the truth? Yeah, no. I am blaming him for that. And I want him to do something about it. Pat, it's your job to raise the money. It's your job to get the donors. It's your job. Go do your job. This is not a case of Mike Rhodes not doing his job. You're not giving them the tools. All right, Andy, that's it for our final Ask Andy. More to come when we get back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. For the final regular time, I'm going to say you're back with Jim and Andy. Quarter number four of our show. Andy, kind of a swan song for you as far as the regular every Friday. And I know there's a lot of people, because I've heard from them, who they appreciate the Friday show. They appreciate you. But, you know, you and I, we've been doing this a long time. And I know you love the song lyrics. I'm just going to call it, Andy, it's been a long, strange trip, hasn't it?
It has been a long, strange trip. How long has it been? Do we remember? Is it 12 years? Is it 2014 or was it 2015?
It one or the other. It's, it was it's like around that. It's plus. Like 11,
it's
12.
It's more than a decade. It's more than a decade. And
I'm probably your longest relationship outside of your marriage.
No. I worked with... I have coworkers from my days at the Patriot News and Penn Live that I've known for 25, 30 years. I have several of those. But, you know, plus, come on, I've got all my old combat vet buddies. we're all, you know, scrunching Constantino wire and kind of scraping our way around. But it's interesting because it was like, a lot of people, and then like I had like every so it was like different roles, right? In different eras, it was just, you know, a very limited role early because you had some stars. You had guys that are like, look, you had John Ritchie in the early years, and you had Ross Tucker. Ross is now main guy on CBS, right? John Ritchie's got he's on in Philly Talk Sports Radio daily, right? Like. Every day, and neither one of those, that was a decade ago, plus ago.
We launched their careers, Andy, let's put it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Right, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what we did. But it was a limited role, because I didn't have any of that street cred or credo, and even though I had some seat time in the business and in, you know, podcast radio type stuff and had a radio show for high school football before that. So I knew the lay of the land, but I had a very limited role. Then I became a host for a while. And then, you know, remember we did shows in person and everything was done in person or in a studio or in a conference room and you drug the board around. And then we were, you know, then COVID hit. And we were like, what the heck is going to happen now? And, you know, you figured out this online platform thing where you could do everything remote. Remember the glitches to start that in the beginning? Remember how glitchy that was and difficult was in the beginning? It was just like at the beginning of it when we were doing it, like the first 3 months, it was like, I cannot wait till COVID's over so we don't have to do this ever again, right? Like, because it was happening so fast and it was all so new and it just, we're not spring chickens. So we had trouble with technology, right? Like technology was kicking our butts and we were like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till we just go sit in a room together and you have your board and we have our microphones and we can make it easy. Like we know how to do it. And we've never done that again. And then so I was hosting for a good period of time, probably a couple, 2-3 years of, you know, playing traffic cop where you weren't on, you were just behind the scenes. And then again, another shift, and I felt more for a while remotely. I stayed in this sort of the hosting role, but then you were like, yeah, we're gonna change again. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever you need. I show up and flap my gums. Easier said than done. So that's what I remember, is how much the transition was and how many different phases it went through.
And what was you mentioned, the COVID thing, and it was like, boom, overnight. I know it happened to the whole world, not just to us, but for people to understand the logistics, we were in several different studios in the Harrisburg area because that's where all the talent was. So it was my responsibility to drive down multiple times a week from Bloomsburg to Harrisburg. And we had set ourselves up at a radio station down in Harrisburg, and that became our regular. We had a room, our equipment stayed there, everything was good to go. And literally, I got a call on a Thursday, like at 2:00 in the afternoon. They said, Jim, you can't do this anymore because of COVID. You have until 4:00 today to get here and get all your equipment out.
Right. I remember that.
I had to jump in the car, head down, and it was like, oh no, what are we going to do now?
Okay. Right. I remember the week before we showed up and they weren't going to let us in. Remember? They were like, no, you can't do this. And we had to obviously we were masked up and everything. It was distance. They were like, how far you and I had to be apart was the stumbling block to, come on, we're here. We have to do this. We have no other way to do it. You had advertisers that you were emboldened to at that time, and they were like, I have to put this show together. And they were like, no. And then they were like, well, we don't know what's going on. We'll let you know. And then the next call you got was, you have 2 hours.
Yep. And it takes an hour and a half for me to get there. So, or an hour 45, but I drove fast. It was crazy. And you talked about the week prior to the stop when COVID was just happening. You're right. They had the doors locked.
Yeah.
And I'd have to come downstairs. You had to let me know you were there. I'd come in, open the door for you. And I won't say who this was, but I'd open the front door, and then you're in the lobby. You have to go through another door. And I had someone refuse to touch the door.
Right.
And make me do it. And it's like, wait a minute. I'm the 60-year-old. I'm the one who's vulnerable here. That was probably the craziest time. And then we had to figure out how to do things going forward. As you said, we had to work on the technology, and which got better. People understand, the Zoom, we don't use Zoom, but it's essentially the same kind of technology. And I remember, Andy, someone saying to me, like, initially we had people on a literal phone call into the system, just like you'd see, on radio or television. You could always tell they're on the phone. And we switched over to what we're doing, similar to what we're doing now, and the audio quality got so much better. I had people saying to me, oh, are you guys back in a studio? And of course we weren't, but I said, yeah, oh yeah, you caught us. We're back in a studio.
Yeah, that was fun. But basically, I mean, what has it been now? Over 6 years of just me and you doing this show once a week remotely, for the most part, 99% remote, just you, me and you just jumping on here and shooting the breeze. But, and the timing is right? Like you're not, you've already done a retirement and cut your shows in half, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm cutting down too. I mean, there's stuff I'm doing and I'm like, yeah, there's still stuff I do, but I want to golf more, a lot more. You know, I want to have the freedom to take the trips at a moment's notice. We're going to Greece next year for a wedding.
Nice.
Yeah. So are we still planning to go to Hawaii? Yes. Are we going to go to our condo in Longboat Key? Yes. So if you look at all that, you know, am I going to take a couple golf trips this winter? Yes. So all of that adds up to, like, I can't make the commitment that I needed to make. And it's just too hard for you if I can't be there, you know, 45 out of 52 times a week.
Andy Shea with the master class on how to handle retirement. You know, I think a lot of people, they retire and they do nothing as opposed to retiring and doing stuff. And that's what you've been able to do. And whoop, as I lose my earpiece here, Andy, you know, in the last minute or two we have, and I'm going to give you the last show for you, Andy, you're going to get the final word here. But I just wanted to take this opportunity, and this is no notes, no anything, just the opportunity to thank you for everything over this last decade plus. You've been a trooper. You filled in anywhere we needed. Whatever I've asked you, Andy, the answer has always been, hey, Jim, whatever you need, which I can't let it go unnoticed. You've been a tremendous team player in every way possible. And, you know, the result of this isn't just a co-worker relationship, but a real authentic friendship. And I just want to thank you for that. Even more than the working relationship, I want to thank you for the friendship. It's been tremendous and phenomenal, and I hope that never ends. I'll give you, Andy, you got a minute to say goodbye.
Well, I just, you know, it's kind of bittersweet for me, but it's also like, yeah, this needs to happen. Secondly, I'm going to throw the ball back at you. I am a, you know, card-carrying country club member. It is your responsibility to show up down here and play golf with me at my course, and then I will return the favor, but I'm going to put it on you first because you're busier than I am in some respects. And I have enjoyed the people that we work with. Like, you know, recently when Ross got promoted, they're good people. You know, I knew Bob Flounders forever. I covered John Ritchie when he won a state football and was at Stanford and Michigan and in the NFL. I've known these people for a long time. I remember when Ross played for Wyomissing, right? I remembered that he went to Princeton and wasn't a very good football player and made himself into an NFL player. It's the people that you remember that matter. And I think the one thing I'd like to remind listeners is never, ever forget that, yes, there is a professionalism. There's a lot of money in college football. Penn State is a blue blood. But remember, it's human beings. The student athletes and these football players and teams and coaches, they're human beings, and I always thought of that first.
All right. Thank you so much, Andy. That's it for our show. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first-of-its-kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.